This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 361 of Shutters Inc., the final episode for 2016. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And welcome back from the wilds of Myanmar from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Bit jet lagged, are we?
No. I'm not jet lagged at all.
We'll just call you Dory.
Oh, boy. Now, it's only 4.5 hour time difference, so it's right. So if you get jet lagged from that, you're in some trouble. I must admit, though, it was a long trip home because it was a 6 hour boat trip. And 6 hour, so 6 hour boat trip and 4 flights. Oh, it's a long flight home. Long
Anyone
trip
would
home.
Think you were coming from the other side of the planet.
I know. It's a long journey home. But yeah, right. What are you gonna do, eh? What are you gonna do?
So how was the trip?
What trip?
That one.
Oh, that was excellent. That was fabulous. We had an absolute ball. Both the actual tour itself and the extension we went on afterwards.
Yeah, cool.
We had a ball. So it was everything I hoped it would be, and in some ways more, in some ways less.
Oh, okay.
So, fabulous.
Right. Well,
photographically, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
We got. I'm still going through, a gazillion images.
Yeah.
I think both Malcolm and I shot about 600 gigabytes of images.
Oy, oy, oy.
Which is up there, you'd have to say.
In JPEG format, that's a lot of images.
I did shoot some RAW.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot of images.
I love the shots of the fishermen with their nets.
With a net? I didn't see a net. Who's a net?
It was very, very Storm Thorgerson, some of it.
Yeah, they're the fishermen on an inlay lake, which is probably the second most popular tourism part of Myanmar.
Right. And
this is massive, like 20-odd kilometre long lake filled with lots of little villages that live on the lake. So it's a very shallow lake, yep. So people have built stilt houses and stilt villages all the way through the lakes. And they've built floating gardens, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
So they grow all the produce they need to sustain themselves on these floating gardens, which is very cool. And the only way to get around the lake is with boat. So that's a nice way of transportation rather than the normal cars and stuff.
Yeah, right. So it's a freshwater lake?
And no, I didn't try drinking it. Yes.
Right.
Yes, it's a freshwater lake. I just remember leaning over one boat at one time and sticking my head into it. But that wasn't a river, not a lake. Right. It was a hot day.
Right.
And so it was a bigger boat. And I'm dangling upside down out of the boat with my head in this fairly dubious-looking river, but it was a fabulous trip. The pace of it was really good. The amount of stuff we saw was amazing. Some of the archaeological sites we went to were just astounding.
Yeah, I saw that when you went up north after you'd finished your tour, you said that you were shooting in some temple that was like 800 years old or something.
A lot of the temples were older than that, probably built around the 5th century, 6th century.
Wow.
And so the one of them we were in was called the 90,000 Buddha Temple.
Right.
That's the English translation. And guess why they call it the 90,000 Buddha Temple?
I have no idea. Glyn, why do they call it the 90,000 Buddha Temple?
They've got 90,000 Buddhas in it.
Wow.
90,000 images of Buddha.
That is crazy. This one temple.
That was built by the father to outdo his son because his son built an 80,000 Buddha Temple. That's right. I'll go you, mate. And
yeah, right.
Didn't just go 50 or 60 more. He didn't go just 50, 60 or 100 more. He went the full 10th hour.
Yeah, right.
An astounding place to walk around, a great place to walk around, and this temple. And we did a few shoots in there. Alan Crom have a selfie competition going on at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I did a my one for the Alan Crom ambassadors are all asked to do one. And so I did mine inside the 80,000 90,000 Buddha temple with a couple of novice monks and me being an idiot just for something different.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be announced to the world at some point, I'm sure, image.
I like the Glyn and Malcolm does Harry Potter selfie.
Oh, on the broomsticks?
Yeah, it was good.
Well, they were there, you know, they were there just leaning there and you can't not use them. God. Yes, we just... stuff.
Were your paying guests impressed with the tour?
No, they hated it. We had a ball. We had a great time, but they
excellent.
They all had a great time. Said captured some amazing images. It was just a really the pace of the trip was really good. It wasn't too exhausting. It wasn't, yeah, even though we had lots of early mornings for sunrises and so on.
Yep.
It was really lucky the time of year that the sun was setting by about 5:30 at night.
Right. Yep.
Which is good. It's not, yeah, imagine if you're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do sunrise and sunset's not till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it a very long day if you want to cover both.
Yeah.
Whereas an early sunset, which you could do sunset, then go to dinner, which is good.
Yeah, nice.
So nice. Pretty much what we did.
And so your after tour, did that provide you with the kind of really off the beaten track experiences that you were hoping for the 2018 tour?
Well, yes and no. Yes. So we flew into this town called Sitwe.
Right.
Which is before you take the boat trip up to Mrau'u, where we were going.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever been to a place so bizarre, and Malcolm said the same.
Right.
Now, this is a place called the Rakhine State in Myanmar, and there, I shouldn't relate this, but our tour guide said there's a Myanmar or Burmese proverb: if you go into a room and you see a serpent and a Rakhine person, kill the Rakhine person first.
Right.
So, yeah, there are tense and terse group of people.
Oh, okay.
You could be pulling faces, jumping up and down, holding your breath till you turn purple, and they just stare at you with a frown.
Right.
Yeah, you can do anything, and yeah, it's so hard to get them to break this terse expression. But once you got through, it was good. But they were very, very stern people.
Yeah. Right.
They were known as fairly much a warrior tribe of area of people. So yeah, that kind of explains somewhat, I guess.
But I have this mental image of a town full of the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
Well, you know, not far off. You know, it was odd. It was yeah. When we got to Mrau'u, which is the town we took the boat, you know, 5 or 6, we ended up driving up instead. Actually, it turns out there is a road now.
Oh, right.
So we ended up driving up, catching the boat back,
yep.
Just because it's actually slightly quicker. And that was wonderful. It was probably a little bit bigger than I expected as far as town goes.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there's a little bit more structure to it than I expected. Not much,
mm-hmm.
But a bit more.
Cool.
But apparently, it's smaller now than it was even 20 years ago. So back in the 1980s, because it was big for gold mining and stuff like that. So
right.
it's smaller than it used to be. And I've got to say that the walking around Mrau'u with these amazing ancient stupas and temples. And people who don't see many Westerners, so you're quite a novelty to everybody.
Yeah,
was a very cool, out of the way experience.
Yeah,
at the same time, in a nice enough hotel, and we went and saw another hotel just to recce it. That's three times more expensive than the one we stayed at. We're talking like $300 a night.
Right.
And it's owned by the Minister for Hotels and Tourism. Right. It's that kind of place, you know. So he's got this monstrously expensive out-of-the-way place for very rich people. We didn't stay there, obviously.
I would imagine it's not a massive hotel or particularly overly populated.
Well, I would say it probably had, I think they had 40 rooms maybe, or might have been less than, might have been 24 rooms.
Yeah.
Big expanse of grounds, completely empty when we were there. It wasn't
right.
You know, not a single. But whereas the hotel we were at had a bunch of, there was a photo tour in from Thailand.
Oh, okay.
They had about 10 or 12 people there, who we almost pushed down the hill a few times because they kept getting in front of our photos. But yeah, as far as a place to walk around, astounding. Just imagine being able to go back to the pyramids, 1920s, before Tutankhamun.
Yeah, right.
Before Tutankhamun, where it really became popular, but just that, where there's not a lot of people going there, not a lot of tourists, but amazing, amazing architecture everywhere, just monstrous temples that you can walk into and walk around and just blows you away. So seriously cool.
I think that would be, as a photographer, I think that would be probably the most enchanting part of being in a place like that, is not having all those rules and restrictions. No, you can't take flash photos here. No, you can't bring your tripod here. No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be awesome.
Within reason, a lot of stuff goes. So there's cultural and religious things you'd be very careful about. Like you can't walk in with shoes on.
Yeah, right.
So there was one photographer who's doing. It was online. He had done in Bagan, another town. He'd done some pre-wedding photos, which is very popular for the Asian culture. But he'd had this wedding couple in a temple, and she had high heel shoes on.
Ooh.
And that was just causing massive upset on the internet.
Yeah,
but you could have me and Malcolm being idiots on brooms, no problem, because we had our shoes off. So it's a funny line to walk.
Got
to
get your priorities right.
You have to be a little bit careful. In Bagan, some people were climbing areas. There's no signs. There's no way of knowing what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
But one group of French tourists had climbed up a temple and knocked a bit off a corner off.
Ooh.
And our guide was taking screaming, taking photos of this guy. He was going to hit him with a tripod.
Wow.
You know, just absolutely getting says, you shouldn't be up there. But we're saying, but there's no signs, you know. He goes, but there's no steps up there. I said, yeah, people will climb. Yeah. That's what Everest proves that, you know. You've got a good chance of dying, but you still want to climb it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put something. It said, and they've got to step on this sort of stuff early. We've got to introduce some of them rules we're just talking about, just to protect heritage, if nothing else.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't go too crazy, but protect the stuff that's there because it's quite amazing. In the town of Bagan, where we're at, it said, there's 2,200 stupas and temples within I don't know how many kilometer radius.
Yeah, right.
400 or so, which were affected by the earthquake in September this year. So there's a little bit of reconstruction going on.
Right.
But this area used to have 10,000 stupas in it.
Wow.
Now it's already astounding. You drive around and you get stupefied, literally. See what I did there? Stupefied. Because there's just literally so many of the damn things.
Yeah.
But I could only imagine what five times as many would have looked like back in the day.
Yeah, right.
So it has stuff that a lot of other countries, Asian countries, don't have. I would put it up there on a par with traveling to India as a great cultural experience.
Yep.
And in fact, I tagged one of my photo posts, and I think I'm going to use this for our tour for 2018. Myanmar, the place you didn't know you had to go to.
Yeah, I saw you put that up. Yeah.
And that's great. To me, that's exactly – a lot of people don't know about it, but oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, a place to go to, you know.
Wow.
A wonderful experience. So we're already planning – in fact, so we only had five people who was on this tour.
Yep.
All five want to know if they could put the deposits down for the 2018 tour.
Nice.
So, and we're only taking about eight on that trip. So, we're organizing. So, we're going to have our own live on boat
in
2018 and start at the northernmost place you're allowed to legally go to by government because there's still a lot of controls in the country where you can and can't go.
Sure.
And we're going to have a boat for 7 or 8 days down to the Irrawaddy River, just stopping at temples and villages and stuff that no one goes to.
Wow.
And then we're going to fly from there to Mrawu, where we've just come from. And spent three or four more days up there, just going to these amazing locations and taking a boat up to visit the chin tattooed women.
Oh, yeah.
Who you some photos of as well. So yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be an astounding trip. So if anyone's interested, jump on board, drop me an email, and we'll put you on the list of info. We won't have the info out until sort of February, March next year or something because we're still. Our guide, who we just left, he's now going to have to do all the research for what kind of boat we need and all so on and so forth. So
yeah, right.
Take a little bit of time to pull stuff together. But seriously cool. Said got some great photos. Still many, 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 many photos to go through, as I said. Some wonderful portraits. Funny, I put one portrait up. It was like the last shoot of the last day, well, the last day of Mrawu, of this young novice.
Yeah.
And I loved the photo. It's very Bob Marley-esque in some ways. I loved it. And a really intense expression. And I put it up online. And but I wasn't 100% happy with it. Then I went and edited it again. And so now I love this photo to pieces.
Oh, cool.
It's not online because I've got this other one up there.
Oh, right.
But the new one is so much better, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways, a million photos. So, did you have fun whilst I was gone? Did you?
We did.
Did you?
I had Darren Purbrick on as a guest for one episode, the guy I shot the wedding with in out at Orange six, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He came on and we chatted about colour spaces What?
Oh, God. Oh, you didn't, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, colour spaces and colour management and stuff like that.
Uh, People, I'm sorry, I'll never go away again. I'd just like to apologize.
Yes, you will.
2020 hindsight. Maybe I'll ban you. Maybe I'll ban you from allowing people, other people on. Color spaces, really?
Yep. And then I had Doug Coleman on last week, who's a photographer from up here on the Central Coast, and we chatted about road trips. He loves going on just random road trips with no plan whatsoever. He'll just turn down whatever street or road he happens to be, you know, enticed by the look of, and he'll just go wherever it takes him.
After my own heart.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so it's been good.
Did Craig Witcher?
We had Craig Wetchen on just before he was heading off down somewhere south of Melbourne to attend a market type thing where he was having a stall with all of his books on sale. And
let's say that again. All of his book.
Yeah. Okay. All of the copies of his book on sale.
All of his books. So all of his books sounds like he's got there, Stephen King or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a Stephen King of photography. His books are horror.
Oh, that's nasty.
So
we've only got a couple of stories to cover this week. We said we were going to keep this one short because Glyn's a bit tired.
Only got in last night.
Yes. And this will be our last episode for the year, as I said in the introduction. We will
hear people cheering when he said that? I did.
Yeah. We'll probably record the week of the 16th of January, I think it is. So the episode will be out January 22. So about a month off. So
March?
Give us a break. Yeah.
Good. This episode's already tired me out. I mean, I've never read. All these hard weeks in a row.
So one thing that popped up on the Sony Alpha Rumors site this week I thought was rather interesting.
You're the person who likes space, color space.
this came from, they don't say who it came from, but they did say that the person who supplied this information was one of the people who correctly identified the exact specs of the A99 Mark II prior to its release. So obviously a verified source. And this person said that at the time they were shown the A99 Mark II, they were also shown a prototype that only had a 24 megapixel sensor in it. And that, you know, basically the engineering team had developed both bodies, one with a 24, one with a 42 megapixel sensor, and the marketing department decided, no, we'll go with a 42. I just thought that was interesting that I wonder how often that sort of thing happens.
Are you sure the guy wasn't just dyslexic?
maybe
he read 24 when it actually was 42.
Maybe, who knows, but I thought it was interesting that they would do that. Made me wonder how often that sort of thing happens with other cameras, you know. Do they ever create multiple versions with different components and then, you know, someone flips a coin to decide which one they're going to release? I don't know. Anyway, and Adam sent us a story about a thing called Relaunch, R-E-L-O-N-C-H. And this story appeared on Petapixel, and essentially it's Ricoh, I think it was a Ricoh camera, basically having this subscription service where they send you a camera that is in a fully stitched up leather housing. So there are only two buttons that you can access, the power button and the shutter release.
Yeah.
And you've got no access to any of the other controls whatsoever. And basically what happens is, it's a Samsung NX camera. And what happens is as you take your photographs, the images are uploaded to the Relaunch server where they have an algorithm that basically analyzes every image and custom processes it for you and then flicks it back to you like the following day. So it's kind of like shooting film. You don't get to see what the image looks like at the time that you took it. You've got no control over the way the camera interprets the scene. You just have to trust the camera's interpretation. And then you have to trust the Relaunch algorithm to correctly process this image. Basically, their marketing thing is that you expected this, but you ended up with that. It wasn't what you wanted. We're taking all the guesswork out of it for you. And for $99 a month, this is what you can do. It's an interesting concept. I'm not sure that it's going to fly, because in this day and age of instant gratification, people want to see the image straight away. I'm not sure anyone's going to be happy at paying $100 a month to get their photos 24 hours later.
No.
Post-processed by an algorithm.
It's an interesting concept, isn't it?
A very interesting concept. It's you know, the video is well produced and you can see what they're trying to do, but I'm just not convinced that this is going to be a long-term proposition.
And also, I mean, its market is going to be pretty darn small.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
Interesting concept. So anyway, I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that one out. Carl sent me a link to...
If anyone joins up, tells what it's like.
Oh, definitely. And Carl sent me a link to an episode of On the Grid, the Kelby TV photo video thing that they post on YouTube. And this was an episode, 10 Things I Wish Someone Would Have Told Me When I Was Starting Photography. And he said to me, go through to 1 hour and 3 minutes. You know, if you don't feel like watching the whole thing, just watch that last couple of minutes. It's not something we've never heard before. It was essentially, you know, to condense it right down, it's the Winston Churchill philosophy, never, 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 never give up. He was saying, you know, we all go through phases of, you know, loving our photography 1 minute and hating it the next. You know, there's some images you look at and you go, oh man, I nailed that. And then there's other images you look at and you go, man, I am never showing that to anybody. And he said, you know, don't beat yourself up over this. You know, we all go through cycles. And he said, the thing is, you're never, ever going to get to a point where you go, I am absolutely at the pinnacle of photography. I've got nothing else to learn. You're never going to be at that point. He said, even if I came up with some magnificent new technique and I told my mate Joe McNally, hey, I just, you know, came up with this great new technique. He said, do you think Joe's going to go, nah, thanks, man, I'm good? Of course not. He said, Joe's going to be the first guy to go, what is it? What is it? Tell me. You know, because everyone's looking to improve, no matter how good you are or where you are in that journey. So I thought it was a nice little couple of minutes. I was waiting for it.
I think I plateaued a long time ago. I think I've reached my Everest, and unfortunately it's a very small Everest, but I've reached it.
Okay. If
you say so. I think the only savior for me for my photos to get any better is relaunch. I might pay the $99 a month to get someone else to edit my photos, and maybe they do a better job than I do. here's the crud I shoot. Can you make it better, please?
Yes. Here's your challenge, relaunch. And the last one was also from Carl, and this was on Petapixel, and two different photographers are saying that using the Photodiox, I think that's how they pronounce it, or Photodiox, Nikon G to Sony E-mount adapter has killed their Alpha 6 series camera bodies. Not in a physical sense. It's not like, you know, elements rubbing up against each other or anything like that. It's just that the electronics have basically bricked the cameras. And two different photographers have said it. One of them was Jason Lanier, who's quite a high-profile photographer. And Photodiox have acknowledged that there's a problem and they're looking into it. So, I guess buyer beware if you are looking at one of those third-party adapters that will allow you to use, you know, brand A lens with brand B body. Be careful.
And also, I say it's a bit, who in the hell is Photodiox?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
Yep.
You're putting I don't know who from I don't know where onto my expensive camera. You know, just be aware with any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we are talking about transferring electronics through to other electronics and signal and also this is expensive gear.
You know, I know lots of photographers go, oh, Canon make really great glass, but I have to ask, are you really getting the benefit of that glass if you're going through an adapter to get to a Sony camera? Are you getting any advantage that you know, would put you in front of the person who's shooting a Sony camera with a Carl Zeiss lens?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Neither would I.
But you might be able to put a lens on that they don't have in that range.
Okay.
And where I think really more importantly is people who have legacy Canon or Nikon systems.
Yeah.
And have gone to Sony, rather than going out and forking out more money, they can put their old gear onto their new bodies.
Oh, okay. Yep, fair enough.
I think it's really, you're not going to go out and buy a Sony camera, this adapter, and then go out and buy a Canon 85mm 1.2 for $2,500 because that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, when you can buy this. But if you already had one of those lenses and you still wanted to use it, well, there's a, to me, that makes somewhat sense.
But I've got to think, if you had the money to buy the good Canon glass in the first place, then hopefully you would buy the Sony adapter. And, you know, yes, that Sony adapter might cost you a little more than the photodiox, but hopefully it's better engineered, or at least, you know it's engineered to work with the camera body. Anyway.
Exactly.
Just my thoughts. Well, matey, we'll wrap this up. We'll keep it short.
How do I get it? Is that a Christmas joke?
Ah!
I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah, totally.
Totally
meant that.
Hey.
Well, mate, you have a good Christmas and a happy new year.
One of the other reasons, I just want to point this out, one of the reasons why we're keeping this episode short is we're having some technical issues.
Yes.
We have some bad lag, a bad signal. And I just want to, for the listeners, go through just a little log of how we started our night tonight. Call started, call dropped 5 seconds later. Call, busy, call, no answer, call started, call ended. Called, no answer, call started, call ended, no answer. Call started, call ended, no answer. Call 30 seconds, call ended, call 4 minutes, call 2 minutes, call. And here we are.
That's right.
Here we go. Then there's a call unable to reach his contact. Call started. Call no answer. 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 And we're not mentioning that the 3 reboots of our computers in between.
That's right.
So, yes, I say a happy good end to the year, I say.
Yes.
Possibly the best episode for the year because it's short. People will love us for that. Yes, thank you, my friend. You have a lovely Christmas and New Year.
Will do.
And are you going away? Are you going to days away?
I'm actually on the skeleton staff at work, so I'll be working the 29th, 30th, 31st.
Nothing better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
If I was still working like a real job, that'd be the time of year to work.
It is.
No one's around. You don't actually have to really do any real work.
There's no one around. You don't have to do a hell of a lot of work. You can roll in at 10. They usually let you go by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's no traffic on
full
the road.
Full day's pay.
And a full day's pay. Yes.
It's win, awesome. Win.
Totally. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, matey.
Okay. I just thought of one last thing before we go, because, I'm a bit that way.
Yep.
Before, I've come across this new app for iOS only at the moment,
right,
called Anti-Crop.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. But you see, you're Android, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking for maybe one, possibly two volunteers. I've emailed them saying I want some codes.
Yep.
And we're going to have a test them. It sounds like you can expand your scene, and it fills in the scene with stuff, that kind of stuff.
A bit like Photoshop's content aware fill.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So that's right. So maybe I don't know how many codes I'm going to get, but if I can get like maybe one person who's prepared to put it to some hard use.
Yep.
On an iPhone or /iPad.
Yep.
Email us during the week, and if I've heard back from them, and during our break, I'll get them a code for it, they download it, try it out, and we'll get their viewpoint on it before we start next year. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, mate. Well, you have a nice break.
Merry Christmas, everybody, with all sincerity. For those, even if those who don't believe or don't do, just it's a nice time of year to be friendly to everybody. So
totally.
Be friendly to everybody.
Yeah.
Take care, everyone.
Talk to you next year.
Bye, all.
Just one thing before I go. I got an email from Rakesh about a week ago, and he said, "Hi, Bruce, really need to leverage your memory, please. A few episodes ago, Glyn talked about a template or kit that people could use before taking a photo, questions to ask themselves. I didn't record down the episode number when I was listening, and now scrolling through all your show notes to no avail. Do you remember which episode or which month so I can track it down? Thanks muchly. I had a quick look back through my notes and suggested a range of episodes that was about 3 or 4 episodes that I thought it was within that window. He tells me that that wasn't it. So if anyone does remember what episode that information was in, could you please drop me an email or flick Rakesh a message on Facebook? That would be awesome. Thank you very much. All right, so let's wrap it up with David Marlin's book review. Take it away, David.
Thanks, Bruce. You know, I'm slowly coming to the conclusion that composition is king. We can manipulate images in many, many ways. But if we don't frame or crop well, it just won't work, no matter how much we manipulate. But for me, composition in photography is still a mysterious thing. Maybe it's because I'm trained as a scientist, and I find it hard to get the hang of composition. And I really do envy people like Glyn, who can sum up a scene and a situation and maximise its compositional potential in seconds. Albrecht Rissler has written Photographic Composition, Principles of Image Design. Albrecht has an interesting background. He's been a window dresser, a poster artist, and a freelance graphic designer. But he's also taught art and was appointed a professor of drawing and illustration in Germany. Now, with an intro like that, you might expect a very voluminous, highly technical work. So the book's a surprise. In fact, it's got a number of surprises. Firstly, it's dominated by the 250 or so photographs. The text supports the photos, not the other way around. Secondly, it's all in black and white, so you can focus on the compositional issues rather than the colour. And thirdly, if you're looking for a book with a technical treatise on rules of thirds, Fibonacci golden rules, and things like that, don't buy this one. But if you do want a book that takes compositional themes like diagonals, high and low horizon, contrast, beyond the frame, has lots of clear examples, then this one's for you. This is a make you think rather than tell you what to do book. And that's the sort of thing you need to do for composition. It's a Rocky Nook book, and in dollars US, it's $31.99 as an ebook, $39.95 as a large paperback, or $49.95 as a bundle. Cheers.
Excellent. Thank you, David. Well, that wraps it up for another year. I cannot believe how fast this year has gone. Seriously, the last 3 months in particular has just flown by for me. I think probably because we've been exceptionally busy at work. It's just made the time fly, and God, I really need to get out and do some photography. Really do. Anyway, have a great Christmas for those of you who are celebrating Christmas. Have a nice time of the year for those that don't. Everybody, please have a safe and happy New Year. And we will talk to you around about the third week of January. Cheers.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.